from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, November the 24th, 1989. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance seminar camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas is the speaker of the evening.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
When Jesus ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men, the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, he gave gifts unto men. Some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. When Jesus ascended up on high, he turned the church over to this ministry. And all that would come to the church, he would turn to this five-fold ministry so that they could be perfected. And he says to the ministry, you take care of them for 2 days, and the third day I'll come back. I've left enough to suffice for 2 days, and on the third day I'll be back. Well, you know that one day in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, that one day is as 1,000 years. So, and you know that Jesus told, when he was told that Herod the fox is going to have you assassinated, he said, you tell that old fox that today and tomorrow I'll be doing cures. I'll be healing, casting out demons, and doing the works of the kingdom. And the third day, I will be perfected. Hallelujah. And I declare to you that that old fox may know that he, for these 2,000 years, has been doing cures. Hallelujah. Amen. He's been healing, and he's been molding into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And the third day, which is the third day from his from Jesus, the third day, he will return. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what he has told the all right? Now, the religious order wasn't able to prepare this wounded, half-dead body of humanity to be sustained for 2 days. It wasn't the religious order that made that preparation. It was the Samaritan. Hallelujah. I tell you, it is not enough just to be religious. I do a study that I call No Religion. There was no religion in Eden. It's one of those lessons that never has an end. Hallelujah. There was no religion. There was fellowship with God. It was in his presence. And in his presence is the fullness of joy. You can't find the fullness of joy anywhere else but in his presence. You can find a lot of joys, to be sure, in this life. But the fullness of joy is only in his presence. And at his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so then we found out that religion, no, when I speak of the kingdom, I'm not talking about just being religious. My Lord, religious, you know, you can get so religious that it's not even, you know, profitable at all, is it, to be over-religious? Super religious. I call them super spiritual folks. Yeah. Over religious. Religious spirit. Yeah. A religious spirit will lie to you. Yeah. It'll make you think you're all right when you're all wrong. Hallelujah. Yeah. It'll deceive you and mislead you, and you miss God 1,000,000 miles. Hallelujah. Yeah, I reckon old Saul of Tarsus was about the most religious guy in his day, don't you? Yeah, he speaks of his religion later and declares that nobody surpassed him in it. And his religion was of that of the strictest sect of religious order. And he excelled in it above many of his fellows. Hallelujah. And he thought that he was, he said, if you want to question my zeal, I'll justify it by the statement that he persecuted the church, Jesus. And he thought he was doing God a good will, good turn, didn't he? He was dead. Would you say that Saul was deceived? He was really, now he's a man to talk about deception, because you talk about deceived, he was deceived.
Amen.
Yeah, he had everything upside down, and when the Lord turned it upside down for him on that day to Damascus, he thought it was upside down, but the Lord had just turned it right side up for him, hadn't he? Saul was to learn later that he had been walking upside down all his life. And that it took God to get it in right relationship. Yeah. No, he didn't hesitate to be obedient to that calling, did he? Praise the Lord. Let's look at another scripture here in passing over in St. John chapter 4. I like this incident. This is where Jesus comes to the well. Jacob's well is there in the sixth verse. Now, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, the Lord, has separated himself from his disciples while they went into the city, and he went by this well. And being weary in the sixth verse, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith to her, give me a drink. And the evangelist says, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse 9, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it you being a Jew ask me a drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Then saith Jesus to her, go call your husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Now she's going to get religious with him. She perceives he's a prophet and said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Hallelujah. That's true worship. That is not, the Jews were religious, and the Samaritans, too. One of them said, you have to go to Jerusalem. And the other said, no, we've got some designated places up here in the woods you can go and to worship. And Jesus said, and this woman was confused. Which one's right, she's saying. Well, he said, the hour has come now when the true worshipers won't have to go up to Jerusalem or to the woods there either. They just worship God in spirit and in truth. This is worship. This will take you out of the realm of just being religious and into a state of worship. It was a good thing for this woman this day that comes, for she had come to this world many times. Well, of course, this message has been preached millions of times, I guess, from this woman at the whale here. But on this particular day, there's something different about this whale. Always she would come here before and it had a lid. I imagine that many of you have been to that whale that's designated Jacob's whale over there. It's a deep whale. His lid, throw back the lid, let down the buckets and draw the water. But on this day, it didn't have a lid. It had a mercy seat. For on the lid is where Jesus was sitting. And God had told Moses that I'll be between the seraphims, the cherubims, on the mercy seat. God had Moses to build an ark, and he said, when you want to consult with me, I'll meet you here. He will be seated on the ark in the mercy seat. The mercy seat was the lid of the ark, and it had two cherubims with their wings stretched over like this, and God's seat, it formed a chair-like, a throne. And this is where God would be sitting. And this was a mercy seat. So this day, when this woman approaches the whale, instead of having an ordinary lid, that lid has become a mercy seat. It is a place where God will meet with you. And that's what happened to her that day. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And he offered her, she said, how are you going to get a drink? You have no ropes and no bucket. And he said, if you knew who it was that's talking to you, and you'd ask of me and I'd give you some living water. And she said, sir, give me to drink. And he told her to go get her husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right. You have had five. Her husbands are representative of the five natural senses. She had been under submission to the five natural senses. And the sixth one, who you now are not married to, but you have, is not your husband. That is the carnal desire. Everything that the carnal man desires after is the sixth sense. But the five natural senses represent her five husbands represent the five natural senses. She had spent all of her life trying to appease the natural senses and had failed even to appease them. If you would miss God, you can miss God. Anything that you put before God, God will not allow. You will never come to sonship, not to maturity, making everything and items and objects and things your life, your God. You never can do it. You have to make him first. And I heard an old preacher say, and I never shall forget it, and he said, this has been near 40 years ago, I heard him say this, 35 years ago anyhow. He said, I have observed, he was kindly a long time in the ministry then. And he said, I have watched this, that I never have seen anybody give up anything, give up God for anything or any person or anything else. That the ultimate of that is that they will, in the end, lose that object and God. Amen. Lose them both. And this woman had spent all of her life trying to please the five senses. She'd had five husbands. Tried to please all of them. And had made an awful failure at it. And now she was just, lately, she had just been following the desire of all of her sensual senses. fleshly senses. And that was her sixth one. But now she's met a man. Hallelujah. From, oh, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Yes. Hallelujah. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. This depicts to me a person that is pushed back to the ends of the earth and feels like that if he takes one more step in reverse, he'll go heralding off into eternity. And if from this position he will cry unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And it was from this position that she cried unto the Lord. She met a man that day, a man who gave to her eternal life. He told her all the things she had ever done. He removed her traces of religion and made her a believer. Hallelujah. He gave to her life. And she went into the village declaring, come and see a man. Hallelujah. Told me all things I ever done. They came to see him. And then when they seen him, they believed because, now, they came because she invited them to come and see him. But when they seen him, they believed now because of what they seen. You remember on that occasion when Jesus went, when John the Baptist was locked in prison and he had been preaching, the kingdom cometh, the kingdom of God cometh. There cometh one after me whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to unloose. He'll have his fan in his hand. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He'll put the axe to the root of the tree. He'll gather his wheat in the garner. And John was locked in prison. He called his disciples together and said, go over where Jesus is preaching and see. Ask him, is he the one or should we look for another? And they went over and put that question to Jesus. And he said, you go back and tell John that today you've seen demons cast out and the blind are healed and the poor is having the gospel preached to them. They come back and said to John, well, he said, tell you I tell you what we've seen. We've seen he was casting out devils and healing the sick and preaching the gospel to the poor people. That satisfied John, didn't it? I'll be ready. Oh, I tell you, God speaks to me that he is calling on us for dedication greater than we are willing to give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just simply have gotten too used to doing it our own way, hadn't we? Hallelujah. But I tell you, God's moving in our hearts and in our lives. And you know, the Bible says for us to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Let me share one other great passage with us in this lesson. And perhaps I'll be closing here in the next 15 minutes or so, I think. Praise the Lord. Let's turn over to Malachi, which is the last Old Testament book. And then we go from there into the New Testament. Well, brother told us this morning that wasn't exactly correct, but as it is divided here anyhow, I tell you, the old is the new concealed, and the new is the old revealed. And Paul said he didn't preach anything. When they accused him of preaching heresy, he said, I don't preach anything but what I find in the prophets and in the book of Moses. He just preached out of the Old Testament. It is just one book. We ought to use it all.
That's right.
And use it diligently. And then by using it the best we can. We need all the equipment. But this is our arsenal for warfare. We need every bit of the equipment we've got here. We need to know how to utilize it, don't we? We need to know how to defend our position. We need to know how to defend and how to attack. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent takes it by force. I tell you, God's not going to just dump it into the hands of a bunch of careless unbelievers. Hallelujah. He's not going to turn us loose with the authority that I'm talking about until we are able to administer authority. We don't know what a solemn calling he has placed upon us. What a solemn obligation is on us now. All right? Let's read from chapter 3 here. We won't read much of it. We'll just get over here in the 8th verse and read here. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Well, you are cursed with a curse.
Amen.
For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall be not room enough to receive."
Amen.
I'm going to expound this, but before I do, he says, will you rob God? Well, you know, the religious, a religious spirit, he's talking about giving here, a religious spirit a religious spirit. There is a religious spirit that tells us, you know what the Bible principle of giving is? Give and you will receive. But a religious spirit, super spiritual, if you get a religious spirit will tell you, oh, you don't give to receive. Well, you do too. Jesus said, give, is that St. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38? Give and it shall be given back to you.
Amen.
Good measure, pressed down, shook together,
running over.
Hallelujah. So we do give to receive. And that's the principle of giving. That's a biblical principle. Would I be a fool indeed if you came by my place and I was out in the field plowing and just sweating and working, like a workman, and you said, "What are you doing, Brother Jack?" I said, "I'm planting a watermelon patch." "Oh, you are? Yeah, I'm going to plant one. I don't expect to get nothing out of it, but..." "But I'm going to plant it." Yeah. Well, now, that's not the law of sowing and reaping, is it?
No, no.
Hallelujah. Yeah, we're bound by... Somebody said, "Everybody's always wanting to get out from under the law." Lord, well, I don't mind. Yeah, I'm never going to get out from under the law. I'm out from under the ceremonial law and the legalistic law. You know, in the Old Testament, they believed in quick justice, didn't they? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Somebody said, "Well, I don't like that." Well, let me give it to you in the... They said, "That's Old Testament. Let me give it to you in the New Testament." Paul says in the New Testament, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There's the principle of that law. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Only he's talking about sowing and reaping now, so it might be worse. If you knock out one of my teeth, you might have to give up two of yours. Because he's talking about sowing and reaping, and when you sow and reap, you reap more than you sow. But in the Old Testament, it was just one tooth for one tooth. Yeah, hallelujah. So you see, the principle always comes forth, and it's in the New Testament too. It was the principle. Every law that God gave us was for our security, for our health, for our welfare, for our... Oh, he meant us no harm. He's not trying to make something so difficult that we can't cling to it. Hallelujah. He's trying to make it so available that we can't miss it. Hallelujah. He doesn't hate us. He loves us. Hallelujah. And Jesus became the visible expression of the invisible God.
Yes.
Now we're back to the ox aspect here in this scripture that we read. Let's look at it again in Malachi 3 and verse 10. Let's start down here. Let's just read the 10th verse again. "Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour you out the windows of heaven, and I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I know what the orthodox interpretation of this scripture is, and I agree with it. But I'm going to give it a further interpretation, and I think that you will agree with this. The orthodox interpretation is saying that if you will be faithful in paying your tithes, that the Lord will shower blessings on you from heaven. Just the unexpected will happen that will bless you. Is that the orthodox interpretation? But now here is another interpretation. A further interpretation of it is this. And we're back to the servant realm. The ox that stands between the plow and the altar, ready to plow or be a sacrifice. All right? Now, let's read it like this. He says, see, in the middle of the verse, if I will not open you. Now, we are the ones in question. And he says, if you will do this, I'm going to open you the windows of heaven. You're the light of the world. The window is built to give light. The window is so that you can see in. He's calling us the windows of heaven and saying that he's going to open us up and pour us out.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Oh, my. Now, do we want to go back to being religious, or we want to follow this through to sonship? Hallelujah. We're about to be bring ourselves to a place where he will open us up and pour us out a blessing, hallelujah, that the world will not be able to contain.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Would you be a sacrifice on the altar? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, see if I will not open you the windows of heaven. I'll open you the window of heaven, and I'll pour you out, and you will be a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. Hallelujah. I'm saying that this is a further interpretation and a further meaning of this beautiful, bountiful scripture here, that God is preparing us, and you will be a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. Hallelujah. I'm saying that this is a further interpretation and a further meaning of this beautiful, bountiful scripture here, that God is preparing us. Here Paul says, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter all the day long. We're slain all the day. We're killed all the day long, he says. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's 8th chapter, Romans, verse 30, 35, 6, 7, long in there. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, Paul says. All right? Now, how is that? All right? The slaughter pen is up yonder. The slaughterhouse is up there, and the pens where the lambs are back here. And there's a master pen back here that's just got a bunch of lambs in it. And then there's a holding pen here, smaller. And they run from out of the pasture, the lambs into the holding pen. And it has a door here, a trap door, and a chute. You know what a chute is? A chute where one can go down it at a time. And the sheep are waiting here in this holding pen. Paul said, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. They're being held in this holding pen for the slaughter. And every time the butcher up yonder hollers, send me another one, the man at the gate swings the gate open, and a lamb steps through and goes to the slaughter. He becomes an offering. But here, and he doesn't know, he's just being held in this pen, and the sheep are milling around. And when that door springs open, he doesn't know whether he'll be the one in the mouth of the door or not. But he's waiting, and when his turn comes, he'll step through that door. Paul said, that's the way we are. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're more than conquerors through all of these things, he says. All right? Then, now, in closing, really, this is just my second closing. Paul closed three times in one book. Praise the Lord. Now let's hear the Apostle Paul say, if Paul can talk it, can he walk it? He walked it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's all right to talk about the game plank, but it's another thing to walk it, isn't it? All right, but we find Paul in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, and he says in the 7th verse, or in the 6th verse, he said, I am now ready to be offered. He's writing to Timothy, his son in the Spirit, and that he begot through the gospel. And the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith.
Amen.
Probably the next time that door swings open, I'll step out into the chute. But he says, all right, he says, now, no doubt, by the time you receive this letter and pass it around to the churches, the word will have gone out from Rome that Paul has been executed. But don't you believe a word of it. I haven't been executed. I have been offered. There is a difference.
Amen.
Believe me, there is a vast difference. I refuse to be executed. I will yield to an offering. Hallelujah. I'm ready to live, or I'm ready to die. Hallelujah. That was the Son of God. He said, I'm not only willing to be persecuted, but I'm willing to give him a life. Yeah. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as did, gave he them power to become the sons of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I tell you, he has come. You do not need to wait for another coming, some great event to take place. He is coming.
Yeah.
Oh, he has come into my heart many times.
Oh, yeah.
He is coming. He has come. He comes and he is coming. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. He come on the day of Pentecost. Yeah. He come to the manger. He come many times, and he's come into my spirit many times. I tell you, he has come to be glorified in his saints,
yes,
and to be admired by those that believe.
Yes.
He has come. We don't have to wait for tomorrow. He has come. Ah, he is not so far away that we would have to send one up after him to fetch him down, or one down to bring him up. But he is near. How near is he? He is as near as your mouth, so the scriptures say.
Yes.
I tell you, God is raising up a great army. So Paul said, I'm not here. He wouldn't admit to being exterminated or executed, but he was an offering.
That's right.
He had given his life. He had offered his life. Moses sacrificed his being so the children of Israel could go into Canaan. I am a sacrifice unto the Lord. We are an offering unto him. What are we doing if we're not becoming an offering? If we're not being a sacrifice unto God, then tell me, somebody, what we are doing. Tell me, what am I doing if I am not a sacrifice? Hallelujah. If I am not sacrificing. Jesus said, if any man wants to be my disciple, first principle, let him deny himself.
Right.
He hit the hardest thing on the agenda, didn't he? Right at first. He didn't start with an easy one and work up to a hard one, did he? I tell you, he started with that hard one, didn't he?
Right.
When he said, deny himself. Boy, he was hitting right at the core of things, wasn't he? Well, if you suffer with him. The Apostle Paul said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. God is, he's building an army. He is building faith in our spirits and in our hearts. He's bringing deliverance to our individual vessels. Hallelujah. He's cleansing us. He's purifying a priesthood. That's why we need Ah, that's why that we need to come together and be delivered and be encouraged and have our faith lifted up and find out where we are.
Amen.
What's going to happen? Oh, the wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them, and the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way. Hallelujah. Highway and a way. Hallelujah. The unclean shall not go up thereon, but it shall be for those. Wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Hallelujah. That's this army that God is bringing to the front with this miraculous ministry of deliverance in preparation for the blessed kingdom of God. We are the kingdom, but we're coming into our possession. Hallelujah. Yes. God is leading us on, isn't He? He is leading us from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. And every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Oh, stand together with me, will you? And let's lift our hands in adoration and praise to Him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, great God in heaven, my Lord of this universe, oh, your blessings be with us, O Lord. I bless you in Jesus' name, my Lord and our God. Oh, hallelujah. I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Shower them with their choicest blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name now, I seal this word to their spiritual, Lord. Every word that has been spoken that will be profitable in our pursuit to the kingdom, I seal it to our spirits. If we've spoken anything that is unprofitable to the kingdom, I pray that you'd strike it from our memory now, Lord, before we leave the tabernacle. Only that we preserve that blessed word of life that will bring us into the kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the blessings of the Lord be on you. Yeah, because you have come together at the Lord's bidding. Yeah, He's called you into a lofty calling. Yea, but He will equip you and not leave you short, saith the Lord, thou God. I'll bring you to Zion if you'll half try, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, if you'll try, I will bring you on. Yea, and you'll be mine, and I'll be yours. Yea, and I will say of you, this is my son, and you will say of me, it is my father. Yea, and I tell you now that I know every sheep by name, and every sheep of mine knoweth my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I tell you again, my children, that there are many voices bidding thee come. Yea, but beware and listen and know the voice of the Master. Yea, for every voice that beckons is not mine, saith the Lord. Yea, but I shall speak a word of life, and you shall know that you have made contact with the living God. Yea, I shall cause my life to explode within you. Yea, to blossom without, saith the Lord thou God. And you shall shall be a peculiar people, yea, that are called by my name, yea, that are known by after your righteousness, saith the Lord. For you shall not live in your own righteousness, but in the righteousness of God. You shall not go forth by your own strength, but in the power of my might shall you go, saith the Lord thou God. And the victory is yours, for I shall give it to thee, saith the Lord. Yea, and what I give, I will not allow another to take from you. Yea, if you desire to follow me, you must, my people, have a strong desire, yea, to please me and to follow me, saith the Lord thou God. Turn not to the left or to the right, but listen to that small voice that will say to you and instruct you, this is the way, walk ye in it, saith the Lord. Yea, I will not permit you to go astray, if you will listen to my words, if you will take my counsel, yea, if you will lean forward to me. I tell you a truth, I shall bring you to Zion, yea, and I shall utter my voice from Zion and stretch forth my arm from Jerusalem, and I shall declare my greatness throughout all the earth, yea, and the glory of the Lord shall manifest itself through your very being, saith the Lord thou God. You shall come unto me as one, yea, and we shall be one together, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and many green pastures shall you be allotted to explore. Many times by the still waters you will find rest, saith the Lord. Yea, I tell you now, my people, don't look for your rest and ease here. It is on the other side. Yea, it is not in this tabernacle, it is in the greater tabernacle, saith the Lord thou God. I have a rest that is reserved, yea, for them that are faithful, them that will follow me in all the might of their light, saith the Lord thou God, and you shall not go astray, but I, the Lord thou God, shall secure thee against that day, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessed people this is, Brother Miller. Praise the Lord. What a, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Hallelujah. Oh, the blessings of the Lord doth enshroud us even now. My Lord, the Shekinah glory of God rest above and filters into the tabernacle even now, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, you might minister even to yourself at this moment or to another that stands by, saith the Lord. Yea, I'd have you to bear one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ. Yea, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, is a royal law. I tell you, if you will wrestle the old man of flesh, yea, and you will show him that the man of the Spirit is taking dominion, one day you will walk into that royal law, which is a perfect law of liberty, and you will find once again that what used to be your enemy, yea, has now been subjected to you, saith the Lord thou God, and you will walk in peace with me, yea, and I'll declare your my glory to you, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I will spread my wings, as it were, over thee, yea, and I shall shelter thee, and I shall shelter thee in my feathers, and I shall undergird thee in the everlasting arms, and you shall not fail, but you shall surely be overcomers, saith the Lord thou God, and you shall be allotted to sit with me in my throne, even as the Father, even as I am sitting with the Father in his throne, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I'll make you pillars that cannot be moved. Yea, believe me, yea, do not say, it is too lofty. It is too lofty for the carnal mind, but I tell you now that I'm enabling you to bypass the carnal, yea, and to move right into the spirit realm, yea, and abide with me, and I will abide with you. It is the truth the Lord hath spoken, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Miller.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.